The National Pulse with Ashraf Garda on SAFM. You're listening to the National Pulse, weekdays 3 to 6 p.m.
I'll tell you what, the conversation we've been having about the Zimbabwean currency and therefore the state of the Zimbabwean economy has certainly got lots of people talking and certainly got their pulses racing about the national pulse of that country. But of course, what happens in that country impacts this country, so they absolutely are linked. And I would think that our next conversation around youth unemployment, yeah, should certainly get us and our pulses racing, absolutely, as well as a chat we'll have later on with Tessa Dooms about, the link between the state and the economy in South Africa. So all those things will get you thinking, and we'll chat. We'll get another take on what's happened around Zimbabwe and the way forward for that country. As always, you can connect with us in multiple ways. You can tweet out tagging SAFM Radio and Ashraf Garda. That's my Twitter account on the X platform. Do use that hashtag, the National Pulse. Do the same if you're on SAFM Radio on the Facebook page too. But if you wish to call in, those that are brave enough, which is always great to connect with you live on air, wherever you may be, 086-000-2032, and love to hear new voices, young, old, male, female, wherever you are, employed, unemployed, different voices on this on the show. You can WhatsApp in text or voice note form, 0614-104-107. And do tell me if you're listening on streaming live, even if you're not, where are you listening to us right now from? In South Africa, where? On the African continent, where? Around the world, where? Tell me where you're listening from. I would love to know. Right, let's now talk about the solutions for youth unemployment. I would love to know that, isn't it? But I'm battling, and I think so is everybody else. In fact, I'll tell you what, looking at the elections run up again, those stories about reducing youth unemployment seems to be like a copy and paste every year, and I don't see much changes. But really, what is the roadmap for the future? So let's find out from an organization that speaks a lot about just that, the issue of youth unemployment and the crisis we face in our country. And I'm talking about the Youth Capital Project, and their leader is Crystal Duncan-Williams. Crystal, good chatting to you, and thanks for joining us here on the National Pulse.
Good afternoon, Ashraf.
Thank you. Now, we know you and I have had many conversations on other platforms before, but the issue of youth unemployment just does not go away, right? Let's talk firstly about your understanding about the gravity of the problem. I mean, what do the stats tell us?
Mm-hmm. Well, the stats tell us that if we had to have young people lining up, you know, shoulder to shoulder, all of the young people not in employment, education or training, that line would stretch all the way from Cape Town right the way through to nearly Lagos, Nigeria. That's what the stats tell us. And every year we are adding to that pool. The jobs we are creating are a drop in the ocean, and our research shows that even when the economy is growing, we often are creating jobs for older people, not young people. And so that line of young people that are locked out of the labor market is continuing to grow, and it has been growing for the past two decades.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a horrific image, and I'm looking at this image now, you know, from not from Cape to Cairo, but Cape to Lagos. And the question is, like, how do we get to from Cape to Namibia or, you know, pretty soon? I mean, it's a huge problem.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned, you know, we have these promises, whether it be from a political party or various different government departments, that we're going to create so many jobs. But we're talking about a couple of thousand, and obviously every job counts, but the scale of the problem is so huge that we really need to think about how do these different programs, whether you're creating 1,000 jobs here, 40,000 jobs there, 600,000 jobs, you know, these big numbers we get promised, how do these pieces tie together? And why are these promises really ever seen to come true? I think it's because government generally, whether we're talking about the ruling party or the other parties vying for the election, fail to understand the complexities of youth unemployment. It is not just about jobs. It is about preparing young people for the world of work. It's having an infrastructure that leaves many young people disconnected from economic opportunity. It's about young people not having the social networks to find those opportunities when they do exist. Mm. It's about an education system that doesn't support young people to get the right skills for the 21st century workplace. So, you know, it's layered and complex.
Well, I mean, therefore, if a young person of, like, let's say 25 or so, picks up their hand and says, Why is our unemployment so high that it can stretch from Cape Town to Lagos, as you've just mentioned? That, then what is the answer to that? Like, so why do we have, it sounds very simplistic me asking this question, but maybe we need that simple question to get a profound answer. Why do we have this problem, and why is it not less? What's the issue here?
I think for the longest time, and I've been encouraged recently, you know, even the president said, I think it was in one of the newsletters, you know, we need a basket of solutions, which Youth Capital actually thinks it's, you know, it's our terminology. But I think for the longest time, we thought there was a silver bullet. We could just create jobs, we'd solve the problem. If we just get young people to go to university, we'll solve the problem. We'll give free education, that'll solve the problem. We'll give an employment tax incentive to businesses to hire young people, that'll solve the problem. You know, we'll have tax incentives through things like the Youth Employment Service. We will give tax incentives to businesses to fund young people on one-year learnerships. And in and of itself, none of these things are not true. But it's understanding that that's one part of a much bigger and more complex problem. And until you put all the pieces together, you're going to continue to fall flat, right? So if a business just creates a one-year opportunity, but the economy is not growing, then after the opportunity ends, that young person steps back into nothing after that. You know, if you train up young people, but they're all studying business administration at a TVET and the market is saturated, then even though they have that qualification and if they had NSFAS funding, which is another story of NSFAS, but let's assume it worked and young people had their money and they got their qualification, that is not a valuable qualification in the labor market. So it's all of these things. And until we unpack that complexity, we are going to continue to see this problem growing. I mean, globally, youth employment is a problem. The world of work is rapidly changing. How we think about work, how we think about skills is changing. And I think South Africa is really on the back foot there as well.
So, I mean, you did say it's this bouquet of problems. I understand that. But, I mean, therefore, if you look at the two issues that you touch on, is the rate of unemployment so high because the numbers of people that are unskilled and therefore unemployable are a problem? Is that the one issue? And or is the other issue that there's a vast number of people who are skilled in jobs or vocations that are unable to deliver to the demands of the world of work of today?
I think it's a little bit of everything again. But so there's the skills, you know, there are the skills that the 21st century workplace needs. But then there are the things that South Africa, you know, society like South Africa needs. We hear this often where there's a shortage of jobs, but there isn't a shortage of work to be done. There's work that is needed in communities that doesn't require you to be able to code or be a maths genius, right? But we need the necessary funding and provision so that that work can be paid for in communities. We see young people and old people, you know, people across different ages stepping up to fill the needs of community through, you know, community health workers, through young people starting reading clubs. You know, you see the public employment program, the basic education initiative, where we have teachers' assistants in schools. All of these are things that communities need. They're skills and jobs in communities that the community cannot pay for and therefore have to be provided through some kind of government intervention. So there's all this kind of work that needs to be done. And then you look at what is government's role in funding people to do that work that a corporate company is never going to pay for. So that's one side, and that's nothing to do with skill. That's just needs that communities have, you know, people to do the work. I think we just need to think about that better. And then there's the technical skills for specific areas like, you know, fourth industrial revolution, or if we're speaking about very kind of vocational works like electricians, plumbers, etc. And I think that pipeline needs a lot of work as well in South Africa. So there's two sides to the coin. It's not just about skills. And I think sometimes we think that it is.
No. I mean, there's no question every one of us, including everybody listening nationwide with their pulses to the nation, would want to have that unemployment rate going down. There's no question about that, right? Therefore, in terms of where you sit at Youth Capital, in terms of your research and your understanding, is there anybody, be it government, be it a government agency, be it big business, be it some bright spark on the outside, whoever that is, maybe even somebody within Youth Capital, that does anybody have a roadmap for you that is great enough for you to say, wow, we think we've actually got a potential solution that, if implemented, will change the terrain of our country with regard to jobs or not?
I think what we need is obviously a lot of it is through the government, and the government's ability to work cross-departmentally is historically terrible. But when we look at things like the Basic Education Employment Initiative, we do see the Office of the Presidency, the Department of Basic Education really came together to make that program a success. We need to see more of that. Where we can even grow that, and I think there's room for improvement, is the private sector. So when these short-term public employment programs end, what is the private sector role in giving that young person the next step, and how do we make those partnerships work better? I don't think it's realistic for anyone to have the full solution. It's why Youth Capital has its 10-point action plan, and under each of the 10 points, there's another 10 points. It's really complex. But for us, especially as we, you know, look towards elections, we look to possibly quite a different-looking parliament in the next 5 years. We are looking at public employment program. You know, we know that first work experience is key. So how can we do that? We're looking at public employment program as a key way to get young people into a first work experience. Okay. We need to look at that scaling point, and then we need to look at a thriving economy for small and medium businesses to be able to create those jobs for young people.
So let's end by flipping this around, and let's see where the power lies, if anything. So a person listening to you and I talk right now is unemployed, okay? Mm. And desperately so, because this has been ongoing for like 6 months to a year to 2 years, okay? We're not even discussing their skills. What advice could you give them now to that unemployed person listening to you and me talk?
I think the easiest way is to reach out to people outside of your social circle. You know, the other young people that you're sitting with, the people in your household who are unemployed, they're in the same boat that you're in, right? How do young people access? And I don't think it's on young people. A lot of the time it's capital. We're like, yeah, people can only do so much. They can look for jobs. They can sign up on all the millions of job platforms that exist. They can keep searching. But the responsibility almost lies with those who are in jobs with social connections to reach out to young people. And I say this because anybody can do this. Anybody can reach out to a young person, help them write a CV, help them prepare for a job interview. And that might seem like a small, insignificant thing with 9 million, you know, young people locked out of the labor market, but it's not. It can change the trajectory of that person to have that exposure. So, you know, that's like a very easy, low-hanging fruit that we can all do. It doesn't require government intervention or mass infrastructure development or any of the other things.
Okay, so by ending, I'm going to challenge every one of us, including you and I and everybody listening, is this. Forget the young person and them knocking on your door. You know the young people in your family, in your street, in your community, in your city. You know those young people who are unemployed. You know that they've been looking around for a job. How about you approaching them and then approaching them on the basis of creating an intervention with your own social circle outside that young person's social circle to try everything you can do to get that person employed? That's the champion challenge. That's what champions do. Can we all do that? And I'm going to try and be more serious about it myself with a whole lot of people that we may well identify. Let's leave it at that. Crystal Duncan Williams, feel free, by the way, to tweet out some of the thoughts that you guys have had and shared as well. And you can just tag SAFM Radio and do tag me as well, Ashraf Garda. Thank you for your time.